You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Praise Him, oh lift your hearts and praise Him, Jerusalem, oh praise Him. I sing now, praise Him, oh tremble, come know His greatness, tremble, our God is mighty, tremble, I sing now, tremble, ah.
Raise your voice in love,
raise your voice in
the rivers love. Rush and
call upon His name.
He wrote me in His love.
Praise Him,
oh lift your hearts and praise Him, Jerusalem, oh
praise Him.
I sing now, praise Him, oh.
Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, flying solo here this morning. Grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your Friday morning with us. Friday in Chicago all day today. Start of the weekend. Start of another opportunity to get together with friends and family to recreate, get together with fellow parishioners on Sunday to worship the Lord, to praise Him as this song is encouraging us. I'm sitting in front of two young priests dressed in long white robes with blue sashes, large rosaries hanging from their sashes, and wonderful wooden-like crosses with a face of Christ carved in the center. They are members of the Missionaries of the Poor. I have with me Father Brian Kerr and Father Paul Vilangapara. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Should have asked you before we got on the air here. These young priests are members of this new community that I, frankly, have never heard of before. So my first question to you both will be, tell me a little bit about your religious community, the Missionaries of the Poor. Father Brian?
Yes, Gratz. It's probably best told with the story of Father Hulang, our father founder. He's a Jamaican Chinese. His parents were from Macau. His mom from Hong Kong. His dad from Macau. They came to Jamaica many years ago, very poor. Father Hulang was a Buddhist. The Franciscan sisters, the good Franciscan sisters in Jamaica, taught this young poor Buddhist boy about Christ. He became a Catholic, brought his mother and his sisters to the faith. The Jesuits took him over. He was behind in his studies, but they helped him. He did well. He left Jamaica and was sent to Boston, to Massachusetts. Studied hard, got four masters and his doctorate in humanity.
Masters.
Yeah, he said he was done, so he had to study super hard, and it did work. And the Jesuits were kind to him. They were very patient teachers. He loved them very much.
Now, what time period are we talking about?
Okay, this is about in the 60s.
In the 60s?
Yes.
You're a very young order.
No. The story of our founder, he was born 1939, joined the Jesuits, and the time when he was studying was over the 60s.
Okay.
Became a professor at Boston College, a big fan of the Red Sox. Oops, this is Chicago, I better be careful. And he, like Mother Teresa, he heard a call. He became a professor at Boston College, and he gave up everything. He left his doctorate, gave up his professorship, went back to his native Jamaica, and began a ministry of mercy among the poor. You may know Jamaica is a beautiful tourist country, but there was a lot of poverty and
absolutely.
Still is.
Absolutely.
And so in 1980, he was my teacher in my last year in college with the Jesuits, and he just turned our world upside down and challenged us to go out to the poor. In 1981, we joined with him, three of us, a Trinidadian, Brother Hayden at the time, Father Hulang, and myself, and we started the Missionaries of the Poor in 1981.
So you're one of the founders.
It was a grace to be there. At the beginning.
Well, praise God.
It was a real grace.
And I'm looking at a brochure that shows just a whole lot of young men who look like you, wearing the same habit. It looks like a very large religious community. A lot has happened in 30 years.
Yes, Gratz. Well, do you believe in miracles?
I do believe in miracles.
Well, a simple one is from three of us in 1981, we have grown to a religious institute of over 500 priests and brothers. We have spread from Jamaica to the Philippines, where I worked for 10 years, to India, to Haiti, to Africa, to the U.S., to Indonesia, and omissions are just growing. We have been blessed with good holy men.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Whoa, this is excellent news. I'm glad I never heard of you, because now I know, and I'm just so edified. Father Paul, how did you get connected with this community?
I came to know about the Missionaries of the Poor in 1993, when Father Brian and another member of the community came to India. And in fact, I was informed about the Missionaries of the Poor by the vocation director of our diocese back in India, from Kerala, where I come from. And I have been in touch with the superior of the community, Father Hayden, one of the first members of the institute. And he asked me to visit Father Brian, who was in India at that time doing vocation promotions. So I came over, met Father Brian and the other member, Father Philip, the member of the community. And that is how it started. Then I did not join the community that year. I took one more year. Then I joined the community in 94. And I did my early formation in India. Then I came over to Jamaica for my novitiate and further formation. And from there, after my first profession of vows, which we may call symbol profession, I was sent to Philippines to work in the mission as a junior professed brother, again with Father Brian. And that is where, in fact, I really discovered my vocation. Because in Jamaica, I did not spend much time. And while I was working in the Philippines with the poor, the homeless, and the poorest in the dumpsite areas, and it was a challenge, but that is where I really discovered my vocation as a missionary of the poor.
All right, say more about that. We're going to get to the main reason why you're here, which has to do with that music that you heard at the beginning. So we're going to get back to that. But these are just two fascinating young men here. You're working with the poorest of the poor in some of the most impoverished parts of the world. What's the attraction? Why would a young man decide to give his life to that? Why would you say that was your calling?
You see, there is a challenge. But when God calls, there's always a purpose why God calls. You know, Jesus has no hands apart from your hands. Jesus has no eyes apart from your eyes. And he has no feet apart from your feet. Now, we are called to be Christ's presence in this world. And we have received this call, and now to reach out to the poor, the poorest, and bring Christ to them, that is our mission. And it is a challenge again, but it is a call, it is a gift that God has given to us, which we cherish. And as the vision of the founder also is to reach out to the poorest in the society, because Christ himself has promised, when you have done something to the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. And when you have not done something for the least of my brothers and sisters, you have not done unto me.
If I could add to that, Gratz, one of the things that moved Father to leave the Jesuits, that was one of the saddest moments of his life, that the Lord called him away from his beloved Jesuit community. But the reality of suffering was one of the factors that really struck us. I can remember Father Long took us, you know, I was just in a Jesuit college, being a normal college student, playing tennis and chess and soccer and troubling the sister schoolgirls next door.
You weren't considering religious life?
No,
at the time.
I was not. I was just seeking the dream of Jamaicans to do well, get to America, go to a good university, find the prettiest wife, get the biggest paying job, and live happily ever after. And in walks this Jesuit priest at the time telling us about Christ and what would Jesus do. And so we began to really look around Jamaica. There was so much poverty at the time. He took us one day into a government poorhouse called Eventide Home, and we saw children strapped to beds, tied with ropes around their foot, naked, sitting hungry. And what would you do? We began to help. We began to make sandwiches to give the food to the children. There was one boy, he was about 7 years old, his name was Damien. He was sitting on the cold concrete floor, stark naked. He was given a small bowl of rice because he had cerebral palsy. As he was taking up the rice, the bowl spilled over on the floor and the food got mixed up with all his urine and the yucky stuff. And when we walked in, there was this child taking up the sturdy food, trying to feed himself. And I wanted to go home. Father Long said, let's go in and help these kids. We went in, we began to clean up the dorm, helped tidy up the kids. The food was filthy. We took our allowance. We bought some bread and jam. We made some sandwiches. We went around giving the food to the kids. And when I came to Damien, he was so happy he had cerebral palsy. His head and his hands began to shake so much, I couldn't give him the food. I had to go close to him and hold him and put the sandwich in his mouth. When Damien bit the sandwich, the child had never tasted sweet jam before. Damien gave me a big smile. And it was the first time I really encountered the beauty of feeding and touching Jesus in the poor. So it's that reality, that joy, and I call it everlasting joy, that can never leave your heart.
I can understand why your community has grown so much so quickly. I want to sign up right now.
Come. The habit is free.
I don't think my wife would approve. We need to take a short break. As we go to break, you're going to hear another song called Wherever You Go. And when we come back, we'll tell you why we're letting you listen to this wonderful music. You're listening to Catholic Radio. A few messages. Please don't go away.
Come with me and trust in me. Leave all behind, my friends. Die to self, to selfishness. Leave all behind, my friends. We will conquer flesh and conquer all the fires of hell. We will show all men the way to God, and we will conquer death. Wherever you go, I will follow you. I live for you.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Summer's not over yet, and the Junior Board's calendar is jam-packed as usual. We will play bingo and share stories with the senior citizens living at Ozanam Village on August 7th, package food for our emergency assistance programs on August 16th, and serve supper to the veterans at Cook's Manor on August 21st. At the end of the month, we hope you will cruise with us for a good cause at the 9th Annual Boat Cruise on the Innisfree. Music, food, and open bar on August 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. for $65 a ticket. These events are open to all Junior Board members and friends. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Trust in me, leave all behind, my friends. Die to self, to selfishness. Leave all behind, my friends. We will conquer flesh and conquer all the fires of hell. We will show all men the way to God, and we will conquer death.
Beautiful and powerful music composed by the founder of a new religious community called the Missionaries of the Poor that just began in the very early 1980s. We're talking this morning with two members of that community, Father Brian Kerr and Father Paul Vilangapara, who are members of this community that I had never heard of, and that I am just so edified to hear that since 1980, a group of three, this Jesuit priest who started out as a young Buddhist Chinese boy, trained by nuns, learned about Christ, decided to become a Christian, came to America, earned four master's degrees and a doctorate, and then heard a whole new call to leave his Jesuit community and go work, like Mother Teresa did, among the poorest of the poor. That kind of heroism has an effect. That kind of heroism has consequences, and usually the consequences are that others see that heroism and they're so inspired by it that they want to be like that person. And so Father Paul and Father Brian are two of those people who were touched and now are going around the world and touching others. Father Brian, tell us about this wonderful founder of your community, co-founder, I should say, because you were right there at the very beginning, and how he touched your life. And tell us about how he is a composer. I mean, this is good music.
It's a gift. It's truly heavenly music, I say objectively. Father Hulong really suffered when he left the Jesuits. It was very hard for him to give up his community. But he stepped forward because he saw and he heard Christ asking him to live the gospel message of service to the poor. When he went out into the ghettos, when he came back and he began to go out into the slums, the dark corners of Jamaica. You know, Jamaica is a beautiful island, but there's still a lot of poverty. And he heard the Lord calling him to reach out. You know, he had nothing, just like Mother Teresa. He was just one young Jesuit priest. He began to go into the homes, into the dark hovels where there's suffering poor kids and mothers without husbands, without food, and old ladies begging on the street corners. And he began to share their suffering. He began to hear music. He never played a guitar or a keyboard, never studied music before, but he began to translate their suffering into songs. Like one of the ladies in the country neighborhood where he used to visit, her husband was a fisherman. He went out in the boat one night and she never saw him again. He died. He drowned at sea. And Father began to translate their experiences into songs. Like that song was called My Husband on the Buried on the Mango Tree. And it's, my husband buried under the mango tree. The boat drift out in the storm at sea. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The children huddle, not a thing to eat. We sit and beg, catch. And he began to just translate the suffering. And he discovered this music, this gift, because he had reached out, like Peter, to walk on the waters. God gave him this gift so he could feed the poor. He even wrote songs that became the number one hit song in Jamaica. You know, Jamaica is a land of reggae. Bob Marley, Jimmy Cliff, Peter Tosh, Sean Paul, or Paul Sean, whatever you call those reggae stars. Here's a Catholic Chinese priest writing wonderful reggae Christian music that have become number one hit song. If anybody can tell us the number one hit song, I give them extra tickets to the concert. He's coming today. He's arriving in Chicago today for the first time. He'll be the guest of Father Torba, Jason Torba, over at St. Ferdinand. And he'll be on stage performing. He's 73 years old now. In those days, he became known as the reggae priest and the ghetto priest. And it's going to be a fabulous concert.
All right, so what I want to know is, why is he such a well-kept secret?
Because he's a very modest person. And actually, he is appearing on EWTN. He's constantly with Mother Angelica. Program. There's a little program. They asked him to do Mother Angelica. Father Benedict Rochelle met him and they became instant friends, and Father Benedict Rochelle took him to Mother Angelica. Mother Angelica, forget about all the protocols. Get him on the air. So he's on EWTN every
all
week.
Right. Yes. So let's tell the folks now why we've been playing this music. What's the connection? What's the news that we want to give them?
Our normal ministry has been to open centers for the children on the streets, the homeless, those with AIDS, with leprosy, the destitute, the dying. But for the first time in our history, we're doing something very, very new. There's a storm in Jamaica right now, a major superstorm. It's not Emily. It's a whole... The name of that storm is abortion. Jamaica is one of the few countries in the world where abortion is still illegal. Our government is now trying to avail of U.S. funds, which they have to legalize abortion to qualify to get those U.S. dollars. And our founder heard about this, so he dragged us to Parliament, and he went there, we spoke, and the senators were very moved. One mother, a senator with tears in her eyes after a presentation, the first thing I told her was my dad had 12 kids, 9 boys and 3 girls, and God provides for children. A child is a blessing from God. She said, "My dear fathers, what can the Catholic Church offer as an alternative to abortion?" Father Holong, with the Holy Spirit, stood up in Parliament and said, "I will build a center for the mothers. Send the children to me." So he has decided to build our first national women pregnancy crisis center, for which we're having this concert here in Chicago to gain support for the center to save children from abortion.
So a concert to help Father Holong keep his word.
Exactly.
He promised the Parliament in Jamaica, if you want help from the church, send the women to me and we'll give them a place. We'll give them a safe haven. We'll give them a shelter.
And the children.
And the children. And we can help to do that. And we'll give you more information about that. Right now we're going to go to a break and you're going to hear "Look When I Look at the Heavens" as we go. Another song by Father Holong.
The oceans, the beasts of the sea, I shout your name. I praise your name.
Oh Lord my God, you made humanity a little less than your divinity. Oh Lord my God, we marvel you are great. You crowned us with your glory and your love.
When I look at the flowers, the rain and streams, I shout your name.
I shout your name.
I praise your name.
Oh God.
When I look at the sunshine, I see your light. I shout your name.
I shout your name.
I praise your name.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This 2-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Do you like that music? Would you like to hear more? It's music composed by a religious order founder. When's the last time you heard a song written by the founder of a religious order? not a tiny little religious order that began yesterday. It's a very large religious order that only started 30 years ago. Over 500 priests throughout the world now.
And brothers, priests and brothers,
in many different nations, ministering to the poorest of the poor. And one of their great passions, one of the great ministries now, is saving unborn children. In Jamaica, one of the last countries in the world in which abortion is still illegal, Father, pronounce his name for me again.
Father Richard.
Father Richard, that's easy. Father Richard, the founder of this community, went to before the parliament and made an impassioned plea to keep abortion illegal. And those legislators said, you've touched us deeply, but what can the church do for these women who want abortions? What's the alternative? And he said, I'll build them a home. I'll build a center for the women and for the children. And now he needs some help to make that dream come true. We've got these two young priests here who are spearheading. They're sort of the vanguard to let you know that at St. Emily Catholic Church, which is located in Mount Prospect, 1400 East Central Road in Mount Prospect, on August the 20th, my brother's 70th birthday, at 7 p.m. That's a Saturday, right?
Yes.
Saturday, August 20th at 7 p.m., St. Emily Church in Mount Prospect. There will be a concert of the music that you've been hearing. It's wonderful music. It's inspired music. It's music that's coming straight from heaven, because this priest, who had never taken a music lesson in his life, who had never played an instrument, suddenly sat down one day and started composing all of these songs. I know that's possible because my son did the same thing one day. He just sat at a piano and started playing it. I know that kind of thing can happen. This music, now, who are the musicians who will be presenting this concert at St. Emily's?
No, this is really another miracle, Gratz. Jamaica is a Protestant island. Many of the wonderful singers from Jamaica have seen the works we're doing in the poorest portions of Jamaica. And they, Protestant singers, a few Catholics, they have come together for over 38 years. They have been singing to feed the group. They're one of the longest existing groups in music in Jamaica. And they're coming up. They're coming up. These singers are coming here in Chicago to sing to save lives so that this dream.
And the brothers and fathers will not receive a penny of the proceeds. All of this money will go to building this center to fulfill the promise that Father Richard made. Now, in addition to the concert at St. Emily's, the very next day, Sunday, August 21st, there will be another concert for those of you in the city at Holy Trinity Catholic Church, which is located at 1118 North Noble Street in Chicago. 1118 North Noble, Holy Trinity Catholic Church. Sunday, August 21st at 5:30 p.m. A second concert, these wonderful musicians coming from Jamaica, singing the songs composed by Father Richard and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To help touch the lives of many, many people in Jamaica, those yet unborn, those who will one day meet in heaven.
Amen.
And they will turn to us and say, thank you for giving me a chance to live.
If I could also add, Gratz, I just came back from Kenya directly to Chicago. And so the other mission of this concert is to also get some food for our children at the Good Shepherd Center we're starting in Kenya. Because right now there's a famine in East Africa, in Somalia, and in the eastern section of Kenya where I was working in the slums. So I pleaded with Father to include some support for the Kenyan mission we have just opened since 2007.
Yeah. Now, Father Paul, we were talking briefly earlier during the break about vocations. And I asked, do they come to you? Do you go looking for them? I'm sure it's some of both. But tell us a little bit about this amazing success. It's obviously the work of the Spirit, but the Spirit works through human hands. So what have you as a community done to help attract these young men to enter the community and to commit their lives to this very, very radical lifestyle?
You know, first of all, what we do is that we live a very simple life, and we want to promote that life with our habits, the cassock that we wear. We go to different schools talk about our community and invite the students to come and spend a weekend with us in our missions and to experience our community life, our prayer life, and our works among the homeless. So when these young men come and stay, what we call it, come and see program, they come and see our life, our way of life, there is something that touches their hearts. It's, of course, as you know, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Lord's work. And when people see that there are men who are completely given themselves to the service of God and the poor, it challenges their own lives, their own hearts, and they come forward. It's a lot of work. We are in touch with these students from different schools in different parts of the world over a year. And then at the end of their graduation, they come back again. They are given a month to spend with us to discern their vocation, if this is what really God wants from their lives. And after spending a month with us in our community, experiencing and participating in our all different aspects of life, if they're interested and if the superiors and the formators have found them, you know, that is what God wants from them, we promote them to the next stage of life and different stages of life.
Well, it's a wonderful story. I often think, and I'm just as guilty as anyone about this, that we don't ask enough of people who we call to the service of the Lord. I think young hearts in particular want to be challenged. They want to do something heroic. They want to do something bold for the Lord, and they're just waiting for somebody to invite them to it. We need to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the famine in Somalia and other parts of the world, and we're going to try to hang on to these two young men because they're just too good to let go. So as we go to the break, we're going to hear another song, which is our marching orders. It's called Praise Him.
And praise Him, Jerusalem, oh,
praise Him.
I sing now,
praise Him, oh, tremble.
Come know His greatness,
tremble.
Our God is mighty,
tremble.
I sing now,
tremble.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
You're invited to join teens and young adults from throughout the Chicago area and the Midwest for a wonderful night of music, fun, and worship under the stars.
Come to World Youth Day Chicago Style, a gathering of young people that coincides with the concluding mass at World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain.
The festivities begin Saturday evening, August the 20th, at the Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines. Watch Pope Benedict celebrate Mass in Madrid and take part in our own worship services. There will be food and entertainment throughout the entire night.
Go to www.youthministry-chicago.org for details and to register. That's www.youthministry-chicago.org.
You can also get updates on Facebook at keyword World Youth Day Chicago.
Get some rest and we'll see you August 20th for an all-nighter under the stars.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Just delighted to be with you and to be with the wonderful folks in the studio here this morning. I'm so excited. I'm bouncing in my chair here because I've learned about a new religious community that I never knew of. I've learned about a wonderful saintly man who would be the male equivalent of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Father Richard, who's the founder of the Missionaries of the Poor. And I told you about two upcoming concerts, one at St. Emily on Saturday, August 20th, and one at Holy Trinity Catholic Church on Sunday, August 21st. At St. Emily's at 7 p.m., on Saturday the 20th, at Holy Trinity at 5:30 p.m. on Sunday the 21st. And here's some contact information. If you want to order tickets, you can call Marta at 847-312-6144. 847-312-6144. Or at Holy Trinity, you can call Anya, the number 773-592-6138, 773-592-6138. Or you could go to the website, www.missionariesofthepoor.org. Missionariesofthepoor.org, all spelled out, easy to remember. Learn about this amazing community and tell your friends and neighbors, especially young men who you think might be hearing a call to serve the Lord. Now, we want to welcome to the program Adrian Curry, who is the Program Director of Catholic Relief Services for the Archdiocese, and Father Manya, Pastor of St. Catherine Labouré Parish in Glenview. Father Mina, sorry about that. You are the pastor of my brother's family.
Oh, good.
So you have got to keep an eye on him, make sure he's coming to church regularly, and keep him in a straight line. Not the one who's about to turn 70. That's the really old brother in the family. My brother Dave and I are much, much younger. I won't tell you how much younger, though. we're going to hear perspectives from Father Mina and from Adrian on the drought that's occurring in Kenya, Somalia, Ethiopia, and East Africa. If you've been listening to the news at all in recent weeks, you know that there's a major, major crisis going on there. So, Adrian, fill us in a little bit. What is going on? What is Catholic Relief Services trying to do to help?
Well, there are currently 12 million people in Kenya, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Djibouti. And it's the famine has been declared in five parts of Somalia for the first time in decades. And Kenya and Ethiopia have an added burden by all the people coming in from Somalia. And so it's really a difficult thing. There's a refugee camp at Dadaab, which is near Father Mina's parish, home parish. And it's near Somalia. It's in Kenya, but it's close to Somalia. And 1,300 people a day are coming into that area alone. So CRS has been there for decades trying to deal with this. And there are 2,000 people coming in from Kenya and Ethiopia on a daily basis, other than the 1,300 coming into the refugee camp in Dadaab. And so right now CRS is working on the immediate needs of the drought-affected people and long-term strategies to help mitigate against future droughts.
Father Mina, this is the part of the world that you are from. Do people you know directly, people you may be related to, are they being affected by this situation?
Actually, last night I was talking with my brother and I said, so what's going on? In Bura Parish, that's where I grew up, the Dadaab is a little bit north of where we are, and it's in the Diocese of Garissa, which the diocese comprises the entire northeastern province of Kenya, where that Dadaab camp is. And one thing he told me, where he lives, he has seen that in the recent week or two, an increased number of Somalis coming. They often come with, you know, with their cattle and camels and goats. And so what's happening is even pasture where, because my brother has a couple, a few goats and so forth, that, you know, you have to, even they themselves are being affected by this influx of goats and sheep and cows, because it's only a slight area that has green pasture. In this place, what the government did early 80s, they started an irrigation program. So there's that green section where everybody tend to congregate.
When I hear famine, I tend to think of not enough food for people. It never occurs to me that if there's a drought, that there's no green grass and that the animals are not able to eat. And if animals don't eat, animals die. If animals die, then humans don't eat. And it's just a horrible, vicious cycle. But it's something I had to read in order to become more aware of.
This is the driest it's been in this area since 1950, 1951. And the food prices are increasing because there's no water and the animals die and there's no place to grow crops.
So people are leaving their home areas and going to where there might be some green pasture.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Really, data refugees were incoming. To me, this is just a tip of the iceberg. We haven't even talked about, let's say, Lake Turkana region, which is the other side of the northern Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading the news, Kenya news, the other day, that even the president said, children come back to school even though they're on break. Why are they coming back to school? Because the school center now, they have been turned into feeding centers.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's all over.
We still have Father Brian of the Missionaries of the Poor with us. I understand, Father, that you just recently returned from Kenya.
Yes, Gratz. I flew straight from Nairobi, from the east of Nairobi, where we have our ministry in the slums, direct to Chicago. And it was after my second attempt to leave. It was very hard to leave. I went to the airport and I turned back the first time. And then I finally came, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you witnessed there.
We're working with Cardinal John Njuyu. He's a wonderful, wonderful leader. Formerly, we were invited by Archbishop Ndingi, and he asked us to go to the east of Nairobi. The eastern section of Nairobi is affected by the drought, especially. And we are working in a slum community called Choka. It's in the Kayoli Karabang area, and as Father Maina mentioned, when I went there, I saw kids with malaria, our little children who were coming to church, Sadaka group who danced during the liturgical dances. I saw one of them, her name was Anastasia, after Mass on Monday. I just arrived on the Sunday, went to Mass. The child was sitting by the street side. I said, Anastasia, why are you not in school? Are you sick? She said, yes, Father. I said, do you have malaria? She said, yes, Father. I said, are you hungry? She said, yes, Father. I had some gas money for the vehicle in my pocket. I gave it to her, go and buy something to eat. She came back a little later, gave me the change,
and
said, thanks. And since then, I decided to start a feeding program for the kids. I wrote to some friends in Toronto, the superintendent of about 120 Catholic schools in York District in Toronto. And she gathered with the kids a 40-foot container of food and sent it to us with some school supplies. So we started a mini school for the poorest kids in that slum. We started this dispensary with two doctors, the husband and wife, they're both doctors, they began to come. It was really an opportunity to just do small things with great love. We have this huge situation, but as Jesus said, every cup of cold water you can give will win you his blessings.
Yum.
And it was really very hard to leave. The container of food arrived. I tried to get it off customs. There were a lot of corruption and struggles, but finally it came. That's why I couldn't leave, because it was still tied up. I got it out, and it was just so much joy to see the food arriving for the kids.
You know, here in this country, we've been very preoccupied with the debt ceiling, with the stock market fluctuations, very real situations. You know, I don't mean to minimize it, because
True.
People's lives are being impacted by that. But when you hear this kind of thing, when you hear that, it's not just about whether your 401k has more or less money. You're hearing about whether someone's stomach is completely empty and shrinking, or whether they have, you know, just enough sustenance to keep going for another day. It's very sobering. How can we help? How can we help? What are the efforts? I know that that you're always working behind the scenes, Adrian, and that Catholic Relief Services is making many, many efforts. How can we help you to make a difference in the lives of these people?
Well, currently we're receiving donations for the East Africa drought. They can be sent Archdiocese of Chicago /CRS on the memo line, put East Africa drought. Mail that to 3525 South Lake Park Avenue, Chicago 60653.
And if they can't remember all of that, give us a phone
number.
Give me
a call at 312-534-8367.
One more time?
312-534-8367.
All right, we need to go to a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with these wonderful, dedicated people who are making a difference in God's world. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Catholic Charities Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Going on 9:48 in Chicago. It's Friday. We say thank God it's Friday, but you know, thank God it's every day, because each day is the Lord's day, and each day is an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of our sisters and brothers. I've got three wonderful people sitting here in front of me who make a difference every day. We have Father Brian, who's a member of the Missionaries of the Poor, a radical community committed to touching the lives of the poorest of the poor throughout the world, a community that's only 30 years old and has already grown to 500. We have Father Mina here, who is a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago and met one of our archdiocesan priests back in his homeland of Kenya. And because of the inspiration he received from him, Father Tom McQuaid, a former seminary classmate of mine, he's now here in Chicago ministering at St. Catherine Laboure Parish. And we also have Adrienne Curry, who has given very much of her life to making a difference to the poor. She is the director of our Catholic Relief Services for the Archdiocese and going to be graduating.
Yes!
With her doctorate in ministry from Catholic Theological Union. When is that happening, Adrian?
May 17th, 7:30.
The angels in heaven will rejoice.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father Mina, tell us, you're from Kenya.
Correct.
Tell us about your experience of Catholic Relief Services when you were still living there.
Well, my parish was staffed by the Merino missionaries, both priests, lay people, brothers and sisters. And I went to a minor seminary in the other side of the country, in western side, in a town called Eldoret. While there, I was expected to perform some pastoral ministry as a high school student. So when I came back home, I will oftentimes get into a ministry with the sisters, with the Merino sisters. And what we'll do is we'll travel into these small Somali villages. Because really, since 80s, the Somali refugees have always been coming to Kenya because of the decades of war in Somalia. Even now, the government is still not stable in Kenya, I mean, in Somalia. And so what we will do is we'll go and Merino sisters will provide healthcare in terms of malaria treatment, prenatal care, feeding the children, really offering nutritional foods, which was provided by the CRS, the Catholic Relief Services. So I have, since I was a young man, really, really have known Catholic Relief Services. To me, the Catholic Relief Services is a hand of God for the Catholic Church. It is through the Catholic Church that Catholic Relief Services reaches to people. And a lot of children, a lot of people, can testify to that, really get what they got through the Catholic Relief Services. This, to me, is a wonderful moment for now. If people are not familiar with what Catholic Relief Services is, it's the one, like Adrian has just said, now really offering immediate need for the people in northern eastern Kenya. I see these, you had asked earlier, how can Catholics or Christians or people of goodwill help? First of all, I will say pray. Mm-hmm. Pray for the people of Eastern Africa. Pray for the rains. I often time and tell my people in the congregation of St. Catherine Laboure that rain is a major employer in Africa.
Amen.
And if there are no rains, people don't work, there's no food. As you have mentioned, cattle and goats die, then there's no food. So the first thing is to pray. The second thing is see this as a call from God to help. Help the people who are suffering. I mean, Father Paul or Father Brian had mentioned earlier how we are called by the message of God. Matthew 25, I was poor, you did not give me, you didn't help me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me, or you fed me. Really a wonderful, wonderful gospel passage that calls every Christian to come to help those in need. So I see this as a call from God for everyone to help.
You know, you've given us a wonderful piece of wisdom there, because it could be so easy to turn on the evening news and see the crises happening everywhere. As you know, as I mentioned before, the stock market crisis here, the starvation crisis in other parts of the world, and say, why is the world in crisis? Why is God abandoning us? But the way to see it, I think you've just told us, is to see it as an invitation to respond to God's call. God is calling us to help, because none of this is unresolvable. No. We can make a difference. Amen. People don't have to die. People don't have to starve.
And in this week's batch mail to all the parishes, I sent out a packet of information on the East Africa drought, which includes facts about the drought, prayers, petitions that can be used at Mass this weekend.
Now tell us, Adrian, it seems that whenever there is a major natural crisis like this, the rest of the world tries to help, and inevitably there's some group in that local area that prevents the help from coming in because of some crazy political reasons. They obstruct the flow of food supplies, etc. Is that kind of thing happening here?
No. It never happens. It never happens with Catholic Relief Services.
And actually, Gratz, the reason why many of the agencies are targeting Kenya is because Kenya is known as a horn of peace in Africa. It's one of the places where there's been such stability. So you can provide structured, organized help to Somalians in Kenya. If you send the help to Somalia, it's a lawless society. There's no structured government.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen with that food. But there is an established government in Kenya. I just came from clearing a 40-foot container of food. It was not so easy taking it from Mombasa to Nairobi, but there are good friends who got in brokers and they helped. And we cleared the container. And the food is there with the poor. We're sending back pictures to Dr. Simoni at Canadian Food for Children. So that those who send the food, the kids, the students, the teachers, can see the food right there with the kids. So you can make a difference. And the things do work in Kenya. So
And CRS has been established there for years. And so they know how, and most of the place, in all of the places that they work, they know how to get the goods in and get it to the people who need them.
Yeah.
And also, even the, you know, I know the CRS works directly with the churches, with the mm-hmm. local, the ordinary local bishop. And I know the Diocese of Garissa has been very instrumental in terms of CRS and aids that come in the name of the church there. Also, you may be familiar, or people may know that our Holy Father designated the Nuncio of Djibouti to be the administrator to see to it that the funds through the Vatican are channeled through for the refugees who are also up in the northern side of Somalia. But CRS, as I said, is the hand of God.
The hand of, that's a wonderful way to see it. And it certainly is comforting to know that if the assistance is sent, it will get there.
Oh, yes.
And Catholic Relief Services, unlike some other charities, has a very low overhead, don't they?
Yes, yes.
So a very large percentage of what's sent actually reaches the people in need.
Yes. Amen. They have an A-plus rating.
Father Brian, does your community have a specific outreach in this area?
We were asked to go to the east of Nairobi because it's a very barren area, and that's where the poor are congregating right now. There are new slums growing. People during the post-election violence in 2007, many groups were displaced. So they have been flocking into this area. And there are no real services being provided. So Archbishop Dingy directly asked us to go to the east, not to the beautiful westlands of beautiful places, but to the east. Langata, those beautiful communities. He said, don't go to Langata. There are enough religious orders there. And that's where we are. We have opened. We're building. If you may know Father Jason Turba, he's actually coming to Kenya.
He is.
There are friends here who are organizing this concert for Jamaica and Kenya. They have already sent some help, and they're coming over. Father Jason Turba, Martha Robach, who is one of our contacts for the concert, Anya, they are definitely coming. And Lucine Mastelers, the principal of St. Ferdinand.
Oh, sure, I know Lucine.
Yes, yes. So she's already packing a container of food with Martha and school supplies to the new schools we have just and that's one beautiful thing with Catholic Relief Services and our own community. You can see the help making a difference. That's a powerful.
Well, that's the great thing about the church in Chicago. We hear about the need and we respond. So I just really want to thank all of you. We've had a great opportunity to learn about efforts being made on behalf of the poor, on behalf of the unborn. Before we go, Adrian, just give us your phone number one more time.
312-534-8367.
So if you want to dig into your pocket and make a change, you can do that. If you want to hear some wonderful music and make a change, you can do that on August the 20th or August the 21st. And you can go to www.missionariesofthepoor.org or call 847-312-6144 for Suburban and 773-592-6138. I want to thank Adrian Curry. I want to thank Father Brian. I want to thank Father Mina. And most of all, we want to thank you for listening. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. As we go out, you're going to hear Now, Lord. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend.
Amen. Amen.
The sweetness of His presence that fills my life's desire. My Lord, I love You. Stay with me a while.
Now, Lord. mercy soothes my fears.